I'm Pastor Mark Choate, and I would like to welcome you again to Revival Today. And the word that God has given me for the body this morning is praising the Lord while you wait. Turn to somebody and say, praise the Lord while you wait. Praise the Lord while you wait. I want you to know this morning that God is on the side and he's on our side and he desires that we make it through what we're going through. I have a few scriptures that I'm going to go over this morning, and I'm going to give you some instruction this morning that I believe that's going to help you in your walk with Christ. I want everyone to know and understand that you are on a journey. And because you're on a journey, guess what? You're not in until you get there. And because of this, we have to understand that we got to believe God to give us strength in the midst of our trials. And I want you to know that the scripture is here to let us know that God is always with us, no matter what you're going through. The first scripture I have is Psalms 118:24 says, this is a day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Next scripture, Chronicles 16:11, it says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Turn to somebody and say, seek his face always. I want you to know that these are the principles and the key to understanding to survive in your walk with Christ. So many times what we do is we don't get this understanding in our spirit that we have to learn how to pursue God and praise him while we're waiting. There are things that we're going through. Everybody here has a testimony. Everybody here has a struggle that they're going through. And God wants you to know is that his word is here to provide us strength in the midst of our battle. Amen. But we cannot go through what we have to go through if we don't know the word of God. The word of God is to give you instruction, number one. And number two, it's supposed to give you guidance through what you're going through. And because of us, a lot of times what we do as people of God, we don't understand his word. So I want you to see these scriptures that I have for you. And I have a little story about Hannah. Next scripture, turn with me to Philippians 4:9, New King James Version. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. You see that? That's an instruction. Is that right? Amen. So what does it say? Rejoice always. And then he said, again, rejoice. Next verse says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, this is NIV. I want you to know when it says, let your gentleness be known to all men. Don't you know that every one of us are going through something right now? And when you look at those that don't have hope, I want you to know the word of God is all about giving us strength and hope in a time when we need it. He is always there. He's never leaving you. He will never forsake you. But guess what? A lot of us feel like we've been forsaken. And we feel this way because a lot of us don't understand and know the word of God, that the word of God is to give you strength when you need help. And this is why we're living in a time where the enemy don't want you to know the word of God. Don't want you to ever open up your Bible and know what the word is saying to you. So when it says rejoice in the Lord always, that's saying that means you got to get something in your spirit. You have to understand that when it says rejoice always, that means sometimes you're going through some things and you're down and out or you don't feel like giving God praise. But he said rejoice always. No, it's not. He's not saying this for no reason. How many of you want to be an overcomer? Raise your hand. Now, if you're tired of being in your battle, God said, don't let yourself continue to wait until the battle's over. But he says, shout now. Give God some praise. Give God some praise. I believe that we're going through and even our life journey, but a lot of us don't understand that God is saying, I'm going to be with you, and I gave you a way out, and it's in my word. So when the scripture says, let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. See them words? Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. It said some of us are anxious. Now this is instructions. God is saying that we are anxious, but he's saying don't be anxious for nothing. But how do you resolve anxious anxiety? By prayer and supplication. Now, when the scripture says, let your gentleness be known, what is that saying? Some of us are hard and beaten and broken. Have you ever gone through something that really left you broken and your heart is broken and you feel like you've been left out of everything? Nobody is looking out for you. Nobody is calling you. I don't know about you, but I've been there. But God is saying, let your gentleness be known. I want you to know when you're in your battle, God wants you to be able to know how to put a smile on. Someone came to me before and called me up and said, Pastor, you know, I want to meet someone. I want a husband. And she was going through a form of mental illness. She was going through some things in her life, and she was at home all the time, could not go out of her house. And she said, and I said, guess what? You are never going to get through what you're going through until you break this. Now, she had to get out of her home. She had to get in the presence of God. And then when she began to come in the presence of God, God began to change her countenance, where she was no longer thinking the way she used to think. I'm going somewhere with this message. So when the scripture says, let your gentleness be known, I began to share with her. I said, don't you know that no one's going to want to be with you if you're never happy? Uh-oh. Some of us live 80% of our time depressed and defeated. We feel like life has not given us a good deal. But I want you to know that your joy is where your strength is at. And that's why the enemy is trying to take away your joy, church. That's why when we named the church, we said House of Praise. Because God said everything starts with praise. Yes. Yes. So he's saying everything we must do, we must rejoice in the Lord always. Now, that's an instruction. Some of us don't understand that God is on our side, but he needs us to follow through with something. He, you know, guess what? He can't help you if you don't help yourself. Like the woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, then I know I will be made whole. That means she had to get her breakthrough first. Her breakthrough came when she made it through the crowd and made her way to the hem of his garment. God is saying too many of us don't want to press. And so we're anxious for everything. Some of us are on medication for mental illness. Some of us are on medication to settle down. Some of us are on medication for everything under the sun. And God is saying that I need you to know it all starts with your praise. So it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to who? To God. See, our request is going to everybody but God. We're on the phone. Hey, sis, what's up? I know you got my back. Guess what? This is what I'm going through. You're dropping your problems in their lap instead of in the Lord. And then you keep saying to yourself, why am I not overcoming? Because you haven't called on Jesus. So you're calling your friends. So it said, let your request be made known. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your heart. Someone say heart. Your mind in Christ Jesus. See, so guess what? He is trying to guard your heart. Some of us have broken hearts. We've been stepped on. We've been spit on. We've been, you know, just beat up on. But in the scripture, he said he's going to guard your heart. So when you have a heart that is broken, guess what? It wasn't guarded. But the Bible says in the scripture word that he said, I will guard your heart. I'm going to make a way for you. And not only did he say he was going to guard your heart, but then he said your mind. So there's something there. There's something there, church. Now, the reason why the joy of the Lord is your strength is because the devil don't know that he has you down when you grinning and smiling. See, the devil is a prince of the air. Guess what? He can't get in you. He got to go at you. So what he tried to do before you welcome him into you, what you have to do is you got to let him know that you are going to deceive him. You got to say, guess what? I know you hit me with this cold, but guess what? Praise God anyway. I know my marriage is broken, but praise God anyway. I know I've lost my job, but praise God anyway. Can you say that with me? Praise God. Anyway. That's how you have to do it. You got to get that in your atmosphere, said the Lord. It says he's going to guard you in your heart and mind through only one person. That's through Christ Jesus. The scripture in James 3:16 says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Now, see, the thing is that I want you to know that this is all about our mind. And I'm going to tell you the story about Hannah, but this is all about your mind. And you know, so many times what we don't understand is that when you envious, when you get all into that envious spirit, you know, some of us have been down and out. You ever see somebody where you know they ain't living right, they ain't trying to live right, they don't even act right? You're like, why they got a husband? Why they got a wife? Go ahead, Valerie. She said, that's right. You know, you ever see people, they're not even trying to live right and they're prospering, they're doing well. And you get there and you start to be envious. But the scripture says an envy is self-seeking. It brings confusion and every evil thing are there. So you say to yourself, why am I going through these things? It's because a lot of us are envious. Because we're looking at somebody else's happiness and we're beating them down. Well, they should stop smiling. They smile too much. Someone told me that you can't trust somebody that smile all the time. I need you to know that we don't know that the joy is our strength. And so God wants to turn that frown into a smile. I know you're sick and I know you're going through some things. So I wanted you to turn with me to 1 Samuel 1:10. How many are receiving this word this morning? When we're done with this word, we're going to have a party up in here. We're going to praise the Lord. See, because I want you to know is that churches too long have been dead and dry, and that's why they're dying up, they're shutting down, they're closing. Because guess what? We bring all this brokenness here, and we keep bringing it week to week, and we keep saying God ain't doing a thing. No, God wants you first to show up with praise. See, it's hard, you know. The praise and worship team, they work hard. They come every Wednesday night and stay till 11 sometime. No, 10 o'clock. And they're here from 8 to 10. And they work on practicing praising the Lord so that when you come into the presence of the house of God, they're singing and praising the Lord. And don't you know that's not easy? when they're singing and praising the Lord, don't you know some of them are going through those things? They're going through things in their marriage. They're going through things at work. But they have to come in and smile and jump around here. Then y'all sitting here like, when you going to do something magical? It's like some of us want them to pull out a wand and hit you with a wand that's called praise and wand. But I need you to know that if everyone come into the house of God with thanksgiving in their heart and praise, the devil ain't going to be able to stand this place. See, and this is the remedy. This is how we get our breakthrough, church. Too many times we're in the middle of the battle and we don't know how to shout right then and there. So God is saying, I'm showing you another way. Turn to somebody and say, he's showing me another way. The Bible says, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And no razor will ever be used on his head. Scripture saying here that Hannah, you know, she, for years, Hannah was the mother of Samuel. And it says that she suffered the disgrace of being a barren woman. And when they would go into the temple to worship, she would see other mothers with their children and would weep and refuse to eat because of her childlessness. This was her struggle. The Bible says that Anna was broken and she was under stress. And with this brokenness, she was anguished and she was dismayed and she was miserable. I want you to know that's a state that we get into sometime. We get miserable. How many have been there before? You're not sad, you're miserable. When the Bible says that he come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, he didn't say the afterlife, and that's where the church gets it wrong. Because your life was a gift. Turn to somebody and say, my life is a gift. So it matters. God wants you to know that the misery and the struggle and the tears and the crying that you're going through, you have to understand that he is with you. And he said, I don't want you to just be excited about when you leave here. I want you to know that you're blessed right now. So Hannah, in her anguishness, when she was bitter and she was weeping, she made a vow to the Lord and said, listen, if you do these things for me, She looked at the servant and said, listen, if you do this, I'll give my son to the Lord, and I will even not even let a razor touch his head. I believe that a lot of us make deals when we're down and out. Turn with me to the next verse. It says, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Now, I want you to get this here. First thing she did, she went to the priest. She said, listen, I'm going through some things. And now she's in desperateness. Now, this is how she looked to Eli. When she came to Eli, it says that she kept on praying to the Lord. So she was praying to God and said, Lord, help me. Excuse me. And she was so broken in her spirit. How many of you have ever been broken in your spirit where you just cried? Desperately. She was crying so much that while she was crying, words weren't even coming out of her mouth. She was crying and she was frantic. You ever see someone pray but not? So she was moving her mouth. No words were coming out. And Eli looked at her and he observed her mouth. And this is what he said. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Someone say her voice was not heard. It said, Eli, though he thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. So he looked at this woman that came into the house of God and said, she was crying to the Lord and she was crying so much that you ever cry so much that you lose your voice? She was miserable. Remember the scripture says she was miserable. She was down and out. I know some of us have been there before where we were miserable, where we were like, Lord, you got to bring something through for me. You got to make this thing change in my life. So Eli observed her mouth, and Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not being heard. So he looked at her and said he thought she was drunk. So right here in the 15th verse, it says, not so, Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. So she said to the prophet, she said, I haven't been drinking. I'm just miserable. I'm just crying out to my God. I just need help right now. How many of you been in that situation where you're living this life right now? You've been going through, you've been beaten and broken, and people don't understand it. So she began to tell the prophet, she said, listen, I'm just crying out to my God, and I know only he can help me. The only way you can be helped is when you go to the Lord. So she was in that place where she was that down and out. So right here it says, do not take your servant for a wicked woman, she said. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace. Say that word, go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. So he looked at her and said, listen, he had an answer for her. He said, go in peace. Now, guess what? She was broken. She was a mess. She was down and out. And he turned around and said, go in peace. Some of us come to the pastor and say, Pastor, you gotta help me through this storm. You gotta change this in my life. And then he turned around and said, go in peace. Bless you. Move on. Go in peace. You look at him like, listen, you just thought I was drunk because I was praying like I was crazy. And you gonna tell me just go in peace? What you need to know that God wants to change your way of thinking, change your mind, and get you off of your misery, get you out of your problem. It's a mindset. And so when he began to say to her, go in peace, she looked at him funny. But then she got the message. Turn to someone and say, she got the message. So Eli answered and said, go in peace, and may God of Israel grant you what you ask of him. See that? When you don't ask, you don't get. So she said, may the servant find favor in your eyes. And that's why a lot of times I preach about favor. Some of us don't know how to get in the favor of God. God wants to give you the desire of your heart. If you want that husband, that wife, that job, that education, guess what? We go after everything but God. And God is trying to say to you, get into his favor. Get into a place spiritually where you're no longer seeking after everything but the word of God. I need you to know that in the presence of God is peace. Give God some praise up here. Then it says, then she went her way, and this is what I want you to get in your spirit right here. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Turn to somebody, no longer downcast. See, that's why when it says this is a day what the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. And when I also said that scripture that says look to the Lord and his strength, he said, and seek his face, this is the instruction that God has for each one of us. That when you praise the Lord and learn how to wait on it, guess what? Your breakthrough is around the corner. But our breakthrough cannot happen because we keep our face down. And I need the church to know that when he said, come into my presence with thanksgiving, it's not for him, it's for you. And when it's for you, guess what? Your breakthrough cannot happen until you get that simple formula in your spirit. So the Bible says when Hannah came to the man of God and cried out for what she needed, she had to make her mind up that she was going to leave transformed. The Bible says that he's going to transform you and renew your mind. That's what's got to happen in order for blessings to come your way. And it cannot happen, church, when we constantly are down and broken. So these are the last scriptures I have. It says, be on your guard. Look to someone and say, be on your guard. This is the word of God. It says, be on your guard. What does it mean to be on your guard? That means you sit there and you watching. You ever see them big security guards and you know they're big. They're standing up there like that. They even watch like that. They scare you watching. But it says, be on your guard. That means you can't be down and out and miserable and have your face frowning. No, he said, be on your guard. This is where your blessings are coming. It says, be on your guard. Firm, it says, what? Stand firm in the faith and be courageous and be strong. So this is what I need the church to get in your spirit. How many want to praise him, praise the Lord while you're waiting? I know you're in your battle right now, but God said, don't wait till the battle's over. Shout right now. Your victory cannot happen, church, until we know how to wait on him. So it says, be on your guard and stand firm. In the faith. Turn to somebody in the faith. See, guess what? It's not going to happen until you start to change your mind. Like I said earlier, with the woman with the issue of blood, she began to say, you know what? No one's going to do it for me. Guess what? No one's going to be able to do it for you. Like when Hannah went to the priest and she was miserable and she wanted a baby and she physically couldn't have a baby. When she would go to the temple, they would tease her and they would laugh because she was barren. I need you to know some of our situations are miserable, but guess what? We come into the house miserable and broken. We can't share a smile with anybody. You say, why is it that my breakthrough hasn't come yet? And he's saying, because you got to change your mind. How many of you are ready to change your mind this morning? Amen. Give God some praise then. But when it says that you have to be on your guard and stand firm in faith. Now that word firm in faith means this. Is that you can't constantly keep on calling up and saying, oh, Pastor, by the way, I don't believe it's going to happen right now. He said to stand firm in faith and be courageous. We teach our kids and children how to do all kind of things but stand firm in the things of God. If you want to be born again, say the word. If you want to be overcomer, say the word. If you want to have victory, say the word. So it says, be courageous and be strong. So that's my instruction to you, church. Some of you haven't been courageous because you've been crying in the midnight hour. Some of you haven't been courageous because you don't know that the battle is almost over. And guess what? You know what's funny? I want you to know, when people go to a ball game, they get excited because you shot a hoop. But guess what? And then we come into the house of God and we all quiet when someone's saved. No, the angels are rejoicing and they're shouting and they're waving to the Lord and saying, praise be to God. And then you come into the church and everyone's quiet. No, your breakthrough is in your praise. This is why the enemy wants to shut the doors in your life. He wants to shut your heart down and stop it from pumping. But I need you to know that God wants you to no longer have your face with a downcast spirit. And when it says to be courageous and be strong, guess what? To be strong means this. When you're in battle, sometimes you get hurt and you get bruised. You know, when you're in a fight, don't you know that they hit back too? So unless you're courageous and strong and stay in the faith, if you don't have no faith in yourself, when you're in that fight, you're going to lose. So you have to already decide that I'm not going home until I win this battle. And that's how he said, I'm coming back for you. I'm preparing a place for you. And some of us want to get out of this world right now because we're so miserable. But God says, you're so miserable because your faith is in everything but him. You know about God. You have a form of godliness. You preach the word, but you don't know how to rejoice and stay in his presence. And the way to rejoice and stay in his presence is sometimes when you're going through. You might cry like Hannah. She was crying so much that he thought she was drunk. How many of you have been in that place where you'll cry? Where you're like, Lord, change my life. I'm tired of the mess. I'm tired of the brokenness. I'm tired of the failed marriages over and over again. I'm tired of always needing a job. I'm tired of always being sick. But after you pray that prayer, God wants you to learn to rejoice. The last scripture says this in Deuteronomy 31. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. Someone say, because of them. The them, sometimes your family and friends. Those that are closest to you know how to hurt you the most. So God said, be strong even because of them. See, so I'm putting that out there because of them. Because of them are them close ones. Them ones that actually know where your heart lies. They know what you desire. But it said, be strong because of them. It said, do not be afraid or terrified. What are you terrified about? When the devil knows your strength and weakness, don't you know he's going to attack you where it hurts? Some of us are hurt. And we turn to somebody and says, I'm broken because of them. That's why it says that. Be strong because of them. There are others, those around you, that are close to you. And you begin to cry and says, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave nor forsake you. Well, lift your hands and praise the Lord right now. I want you to know that any way he bless you, be satisfied.
Praise God. It's time that we learn to be satisfied. in whatever state we find ourselves in, and wait on Him. I hope that you are blessed. Please come visit us soon at NEP House of Praise, located at 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. Again, I would like to encourage our online family. Please send your offering or whatever God has put in your spirit to give to the ministry. We want to build in the city. Come see us real soon. Sunday morning services are at 10 a.m. Sunday morning. Bless you.